The Bible says that Barabbas cried out to Jesus. And why shouldn't he cry out? After all, he was a man at the end of his rope, and he had nothing to lose. He was just a beggar and a blind one at that. No matter what happened, he couldn't possibly be any worse off than he was already. In that respect, Bartimaeus was like most of us. So often we only cry out to Jesus when we're at the end of our rope. We cry out to Jesus only when things couldn't possibly be any worse. In a way, it's sad that so many of us never give God much consideration until the roof caves in, or the bottom falls out, or life blows up. We don't know how much Bartimaeus knew about Jesus, but whatever he knew, it was certainly secondhand. You see, Bartimaeus was blind. He had never seen Jesus stretch out his hand to touch someone who was blind or who had leper. He had never seen him reach down and lift up someone who was ill. He had never seen the compassion in the face of Jesus, or the love in his eyes as he talked about the kingdom of God. At best, he had heard him just from the fringe of the crowd. But more likely, he had heard people talking about Jesus as they passed by his begging place on the street corner. Probably all he knew was that some famous religious person was in town, and somebody said that Jesus was passing by, and he began to cry out. And since he didn't know what exactly to ask of this man, he just cried out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Sometimes that's our trouble too. So often we don't know exactly what God can do or will do. Is he some sort of magician who waves a magic wand? Is he some sort of Santa who gives presents to people who are good? Is he some troubleshooter that you can call out when life blows a fuse or when the plumbing won't work? Just exactly what is God's role? What can he do? What will he do? What do you ask him for? Does a young lady ask him to sprinkle stardust on the guy that she set her cap for? Does a businessman ask him to make a business deal turn out okay when he's used poor judgment? Does a student ask God to give him an A when he hasn't cracked a book? Do you ask God to transform a marriage in 2 days when you've spent 20 years destroying it? What's God good for anyway? So because most of us aren't really sure about that, we cry out, "Mercy, Lord." And by that we mean we want God to somehow clean up the mess we're in. So Bartimaeus cried out for help, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And then the Bible says, and Jesus stopped. I tell you, those are some of the most exciting words in the New Testament. Yes, and Jesus stopped. He hears the cry of the distressed. Do you remember the story of the woman in the New Testament who had an issue of blood, who was ill so many years? And the Bible tells us she had gone to all the doctors, she had sought every cure, and she spent all she had. And yet the Bible says she was nothing better. But this woman heard about Jesus too. She said in a heart, "If I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I would be well." So when Jesus passed by in the crowd, she pressed through the throng of people. And just as he went by, she reached out and her fingers brushed the hem of his garment. As she reached out in faith, the Bible says that immediately she was healed. And then an exciting thing happened. The Bible tells us
Jesus stopped.
He stopped. He turned to His disciples and He asked them, "Who touched Him?" His disciples were amazed. How can you ask such a question, they asked. See how the multitude is pressed about you on every side, and you ask, "Who touched you?" That's a foolish question. And yet the Bible tells us that Jesus stopped. He searched the face of the crowd with His eyes until at last the woman came and fell at His feet and told Him what had happened. Yes, He searched the face of the crowd. She was a person in need, a person who was important to Him. And He stopped and He searched until He found her. Let me tell you something. We're hearing a lot today about the exploding birth rate in the world and the increasing mass of humanity that is crowding and threatening to overpopulate and just crush the world. But I want to tell you this morning that in all of our world, there's not a single person, not a single face that's lost in the crowd as far as Jesus is concerned. He knows the name of everyone. You may have some desperate needs this morning. And you may have cried out to God and you may have felt that your prayers went no further than the roof. But let me assure you that your face is never lost in the crowd to Jesus. You are important to Him. The Bible tells us it's not the will of our Father that a single person should perish, but that all should come to salvation. The Bible tells us that God so loved the world that whosoever believeth might not perish. Yes, Jesus said, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" Someone had reached out to Him in her need, and He was aware of her as a person, someone of worth. Isn't that exactly what happened to Bartimaeus? The Bible says that Jesus stopped. And then the people said to Bartimaeus, "Take heart, rise, He's calling you." Some years ago, there was an incredible story that came out of India. Near New Delhi, a bus had run off of a cliff in a terrible accident, and the bus was on its side on the rocks in a ravine below, and suddenly the bus began to burn. Someone up above tied a rope to a tree and dropped it down. 11 untouchables quickly climbed the rope to safety. But 78 people perished because they refused to use a rope that had been handled by the untouchables. But the Bible makes the incredible, the outrageous claim, there is no untouchable. There is no one, no matter how unlovely, no matter how undeserving, no matter how unworthy, there is no one who is an untouchable for Jesus. It doesn't matter what needs you've brought here this morning. Jesus is concerned about you as a person. He knows your name. You're important to Him. Here was Bartimaeus, a blind man. An insignificant person in the eyes of the world. A man of no position, no authority, no worldly importance. But when he cries out in his need to Jesus, the Bible says, and Jesus stopped. He stopped. However, listen very carefully to what happened next. Bartimaeus had cried out for mercy. A broad, sweeping, generalized plea for help. But when Jesus stopped, Bartimaeus made an incredible discovery. He discovered that Jesus wanted him to be specific. Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" That is, be specific. Tell me exactly what you want. You see, it's not enough to ask God to make you good in general. God can help you be good only in particular. God demands that we be specific about our needs, about our sins, that we dare to be honest about our failures and our faults, our weaknesses. Suppose, for example, I ask God to make me more loving. Oh, God, make me more loving. But in my heart, I'm harboring a grudge against someone. In a perverse sort of way, I enjoy that grudge. It gives me a certain pleasure to remember in righteous indignation that someone has done me in and I have been wronged. Now, God can't help me be loving in general until I let Him make me loving in particular. First, I must open the door to that closet in the heart where I'm nurturing and keeping my grudge. Does that make sense to you? It won't do to pray for God to make you a good husband. You must put before God explicitly the places you are failing and let Him deal with them. It isn't enough to ask God to bless your marriage. You must put before God those areas where you know you yourself are failing and let God deal with that. A woman may pray, God, help me to be a good housekeeper. That sort of prayer doesn't work. She must pray specifically, God, help me not to spend all morning reading the paper or all morning talking to my friends or whatever she might be doing. She must be specific in the areas of her failures. A father might ask, God, help me to be a better father to my children. But God doesn't deal with generalities. God only deals with specifics. A man must pray, God, show me how to love my child. Show me how I can make him feel that he is a person of worth. God, show me how I can set some priorities here because I'm ignoring my son or my daughter. Can you understand that? Let me give you an illustration. D. Perry Ginn is a well-known Southern Baptist minister who tells a story of burying an old man who had been dead 19 years and putting to rest a little boy who was over 30 years of age. The old man was his father. And he was the boy. People thought of Perry as warm and friendly and able to communicate. But inside, he thought of himself as a frightened little boy, wanting desperately to be accepted and loved, yet with a terrible dread and fear of being rejected. As it turned out, his father had been mean and cruel, as well as an alcoholic. And Perry had hated him with a part of himself, and yet with another part of himself, he desperately wanted to be loved. One day a friend said to him, Perry, have you ever told your father you forgive him? No, said Perry, and I can't, because he died 19 years ago. No doubt the next words the friend spoke were words given to him by God. No, he said, your father's not dead. You've kept him alive all these years, and you've never buried him. Now, Perry, by God's grace and God's help, I'm going to become your father. And as your father, I would like to ask you, Perry, what do you want to say to me? And all kinds of conflicting emotions clamored inside of Perry. And then he blurted out, I hate your guts. Is that all you want to say to me, Perry? His mouth was dry and fear welled up inside of him, the fear of a little boy who was scared of his father. I'm afraid you're going to knock me down, but I love you too. Why do you hate me? Because of what you did to me. Still speaking as his father, Perry's friend said, I know I made a mess of things in my life for you and for the family. There's nothing I can do about it now. It's in the past and I'm dead. All I can do is ask you to forgive me. Perry, will you forgive me? Will you forgive me and let me rest in my grave? And Perry faltered. I want to forgive you, but I can't. I don't feel forgiveness. And the words would be dishonest if I spoke them. But forgiveness is not a feeling, said his friend. Forgiveness is an act of the will. It's something you do.
And the words burst out, "Then I forgive you, and you can rest now."
And as he spoke the words, compassion, for the first time, began to rise within his soul. And for the first time, he began to feel forgiveness toward his father. And then the two men bowed their heads and in prayer quietly and reverently buried a father who had been dead 19 years and put away a frightened little boy who had been there a long time too. Do you see, God could not make Perry forgiving in general. He could only help him be forgiving in particular. And in the presence, in the process, the ghost of an old man and a little boy were laid to rest. So Bartimaeus stood that day before Jesus, and Jesus said to him, "Be specific. What do you want me to do for you?" Now, because you have eyes and you know what it is to see, being blind would be terrible for you. And automatically you would think that the natural thing would be for Bartimaeus to ask for his sight. But look at it from his side. He never had seen and he didn't know what he was missing. He had a way of life. He even had his own niche in society. He had learned to make his living by begging. He had adjusted himself to his world. And to suddenly see would ruin all of that. He would have to give up many things with which he had been secure and familiar. It would be like starting life all over again. He couldn't beg anymore. People would have new and different expectations. He would have to learn to make a living, to learn a trade, to be self-reliant, self-sufficient. How could he be sure that seeing would be worth what it cost? So often you and I think we want to be different. We don't want to drink, or we don't want to smoke, or we don't want to overeat, or we don't want to be extravagant. And yet we don't want to bear the pain of changing, the pain of being different. Is that true in your life this morning? Are there some things going on in your life you want to stop? Some things you want to quit, to do differently. And yet, are you really exposing those things to God to help you deal with them? Bartimaeus did the daring thing, the far-reaching thing. He did the life-changing thing. He said to Jesus, "Master, let me receive my sight." Do you really want to be a different person, a more loving person, a changed person? You must do the daring, the life-changing thing. You must, in fact, bring your specific failures, your specific needs, and lay them before God. You may have a dirty mouth and be guilty of cursing. You may have a gossiping, critical tongue. You may have a quick temper, or some sexual hang-up. You may have some hate towards someone. You may be addicted to drink and don't want to admit it. You may have told some lie. You may have stolen something. You may have defamed some character. You may have committed some dishonest act. But God can't help you in general. He can only help you in particular. The Bible says, "Take heart, He's calling you." And when you stand there, God can clean up the mess you're in, but you have to tell Him what it is. When Perry Jin stood there, he said, "Father, I do forgive you." When Bartimaeus stood there, he said, "Let me receive my sight." As you stand before Jesus this morning, as He says to you, "What do you want me to do for you?" What will you say? Let us pray. Let's pray.